Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Weekly Daily Podcast. My name is Chris, a.k.a. Necronominoms.
I'm Beck.
Hi, Beck.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Been pretty chill lately. Weather's been up and down. How about you?
Pretty much the same. It's been warm and then cold and wet, and then it's been cold and wet.
Yeah, it's apparently going to, like, it was, like, just, like, 70 or something here, and then it's, like, it's going to snow in a few days. It's, like, why?
Yeah, I feel like that's coming to us, too, probably. I haven't looked at the weather.
Yeah.
Well, game-wise, how's it going?
You know, it's still been, like, Elden Ring for me.
Yeah.
Off and on, like, I've only been playing, like, a few hours a day, so I still haven't, like, gotten to the ending, but, like, I could have probably beat the game, like, I think I'm, like, 70 hours into the game or something like that. I could have beat it probably at the 40-hour mark or 30, but, like, I like just walking around and killing stuff and just looking in a cave and getting a useless spirit or whatever, ash or whatever they're called. I have, like, a million of them, and I don't use most of them. How about you?
It's pretty much the same. I mean, I'm nowhere near as far into Elden Ring as you are, so... Probably not exactly the same, but that's most of what I've been playing alone. I mean, I know that you and I, along with our friends, have been playing other stuff like Core Keeper. That's been a big one for us.
Yeah, that's been pretty cool. It's like, for people who don't know, it's like Terraria / Minecraft, but like, is it isometric, kind of?
Yeah, I would say it's isometric. It gives me, as far as like the visuals, it gives me big like Stardew Valley vibes.
Yeah, Stardew Valley's in there too, because you're like doing, you can like do some farming and stuff, fishing.
Oh, yeah.
You're mining. You're always mining because you got to get anywhere. You have to mine out the walls. It's got nice pixel graphics. It's got bosses and loot. It's not finished. Apparently, like we only did like one boss. There's three bosses in the game, and apparently, once you beat like three of the bosses, like you can like dig really far out, but there's really not much out there. Game's just not finished yet, but it's really cool. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it's very much an early access, but I mean, as long as you're okay with that, it's definitely a good time. I did a lot of farming myself. I know you did a lot of fishing.
Yeah, like you like ended up being like our cooking person / farmer. Like you get stats for doing that, and I ended up fishing because I love fishing in games. Like I feel like in real life, like I don't want to fish because like as much because I don't want to hurt fish, but like I still do it sometimes. But, like, in video games, I get, like, really heated to do, like, fishing. Like, if like I won't even play, like, a game that, like, a fishing game, like, straight up a fishing game on Steam. But, like, if there's a fishing mini game, I'm all about it. And this one's got stats, and it's kind of challenging, too. You're, like, playing this, like, back and forth of, like, trying not to snap your line and or let the fish escape. So you're trying to, like, press the button to reel them in, but if the fish is, like, freaking out, it actually, like, causes the line to, like, break faster. So you gotta, like, press it only when it's good to press it. And each different fish have different, like, patterns to them. So it's pretty in-depth, surprisingly.
I had a much chiller time with my experience than you did, I think.
Yeah,
you were ready to murder fish.
I was ready to go.
I personally was just like, okay, till the land, drop the seed, plant it, water it, and then, okay, got the food, put it in the pot, see what happens. Oh, look, Beck finally caught a fish. Let's cook that one.
Mm-hmm. You get like different combinations because you're combining two different types of food to get like a different buff. Which is
right.
Cool.
And that, yeah, that's really cool that, like, just any food, it's just like, okay, this is edible, put it in the pot with anything else, and you just combine the buffs. I like that variability.
Yeah. I'm hoping we get, like, some good mileage out of it, but with, like, how our friends normally are, they just want to kind of kill them, get to the next boss and kill them, and then just, like, the game's going to probably be done for us once we kill, like, that third boss and explore out a little bit, and then we'll probably be done till it gets updated again, which is a little upsetting. Like, I'm having fun just fishing.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to find that it's all right because we end up just going back to it whenever there's an update or something. So it's like, okay, well, we finished everything, but we're going to be back again when there's a new thing to do. And we'll all be trying new stuff after that anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you got anything else for us.
I've been doing like other stuff outside of gaming. I still play Yu-Gi-Oh! a lot, way too much. I've also been like watching a lot of like anime and TV shows. Like I've been watching Ranking of Kings, which has been fun. I've been watching Digimon, which is weird to say in 2022.
As an adult?
As an adult. I mean, I'll always come back and at least watch a Pokemon or a Digimon all the time, but like it's just weird talking about it, just being like, here's this thing I'm doing. It's strangely fun just to like watch Digimon again with like some new things to it. And then the other thing I've been watching isn't an anime. It's I'm watching Kamen Rider, which is very random, I know. I don't know why I tried getting into Kamen Rider a few years ago and I kind of just dropped off because it is a kid's show in Japan, just like Power Rangers is.
Okay, I didn't know what it was at all, so I was
it's literally
that was
like
my question.
Okay, it's like Power Rangers, but like more individual focused. It used to be called like Masked Rider like many years ago. It actually is more popular like toy wise than Power Rangers in Japan. But yeah, I just saw like a video was recommended to me talking about Kamen Rider, and I was like, oh, I'll try this again. Like I didn't enjoy it that much last time I tried, but I'll try it again with like a newer one. And I'm trying to watch this one from like 2018 called Kamen Rider Build, and he has a cool outfit and I like it. It's really cheesy and dumb, but it's been fun. And I think that's all that matters. And it's just really, it was just my one random thing I've been doing lately.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
I've been getting into like mostly like anime a lot more recently. I started like picking up on exercising again. And one thing that keeps me motivated is that like since I haven't gotten to watch shows in a while, I've been like, okay, I can run on the elliptical and like watch one show, and that'll be the amount of time I spend on the elliptical, and then I've watched another episode. So with that logic, I watched Komi Can't Communicate first, which really love that show. Very wholesome, very fun. I don't usually watch a lot of the like slice of life stuff, but been really enjoying that. And then I moved on to like Demon Slayer because that's one that everyone talks about, and I'm like, should probably just watch this.
So good.
so
like you probably get like good pacing too. So you only like watch like two episodes at a time. Then it sounds like you watch one while you're on the elliptical, and then one while you're off of it.
It depends. Like today I've probably watched like three or four episodes. I think like three episodes of like Demon Slayer, just because like it got to a point where I was like, I want to know what happened next. So I just want to end on like a proper spot. But yeah, it does give me much better pacing than if I were just to straight binge it. I've been enjoying that pacing. Demon Slayer is one that I was enjoying, but it gives me like D. Greyman vibes. If you think about, I mean, I don't know, this is a gaming podcast, so we probably don't need to go in depth. It's just like a lot of the like fights end with like the main character being sad about the demons, and then like the demon backgrounds of their lives like flash before their eyes.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I get it now. Yeah, D. Greyman felt like they beat a demon like every episode. Were there demons in D. Greyman?
They were called Akuma, I think.
Akuma, yeah. Freaking demon anyways. Where they'd be Alan would be the demon or an Akuma, and then he'd just be sad about it, but he'd be a different one like every episode, it seemed like. And it was like the pace of the episode, like you would knew exactly how the episode would go. They'd like, oh, turns out the demon's someone's brother, he kills them, they're sad about it because they actually had a tragic life, and then on to the next episode. But I mean, there's an overarching story, but it, like it seemed like that was every episode. At least with Demon Slayer, it's like it doesn't feel like there's a new demon of the day or the week or whatever. Like, it's just like, it does build up to like a bigger fight for the most part.
Yeah. It is different in that manner, but yeah, it just gave me those vibes with the ending whenever like a demon dies.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Demon Slayer, I feel like later on, it feels like it's more bigger fights, more drawn out things where D. Greyman, exactly how you're saying it, like it's it felt like it was that every episode, and it kind of wore on me. But
yeah,
50 episodes of that, I swear. Yeah, we can go into gaming.
Yeah, let's go back to video games, unless we talk about like the Demon Slayer video game, which I didn't play. So we're going to not do that. I didn't play
it. Hey, it'd be fine if we just went on tangents about anime and life too. But
yeah, I guess we can afford that. We're real people.
Yeah. But gaming news.
First story. Humble Bundle. Just want to shout out the new Stand with Ukraine bundle. Just feel like that's an opportunity to signal boost that. I don't know if it needs signal boosting.
No.
Because it raised a lot of money.
It did. And unlike the itch.io, how do you say it?
itch.io.
I feel like that's a little more like not in the front and center as like Humble Bundle is.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much did it make already?
As of now, I have the site open on the side here. It made $13,497,156. That's also, I think it just started this week, if I recall, because I think they, it seems like they waited until after the itch.io bundle so as not to like step on its toes, you know?
Yeah, the itch.io one was like way more stuff. Like, I'm not going to say way more, well, it was way more games, but like, it was almost $1,000, it was $998, and it was only $10 to get everything. And in total, they raised $6,370,000. And that was over the course of them doing it. And they're done with it now. Where this is just already past double that on, like, what you say, like, their first day?
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. It was, like... Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So just some details about this one. It is $40. So more than the itch.io bundle. Less and items, too. It has 124 items.
Yeah.
You
could put in more money if you want to.
Yeah. Humble Bundle always has that where you can put in extra if you want. You can pay at a bare minimum, but you can go as high as you want just because it is for charity. And you can also choose which charities those go to. So a lot of choice in what you do with that $40+. It has 124 items. The items are similar to itch.io in that like there's a varying, like it's not just video games. You're getting video games, you're getting comics and graphic novels. You're getting, I think there's some music in there. You have some like 3D printing patterns and software.
Yeah, I saw some models in there, you know, books. Few books,
yeah,
but like for the most part it is like less stuff, but like there's bigger quality like games in here,
right?
Say that.
Yeah, we've got some of the bigger ones are like Satisfactory, Back for Blood, it's got Fable, Slay the Spire to name a few. Metro Exodus is another one. A lot of stuff
it's interesting
there
with Metro because I think we went over that is a Ukraine developer.
Yes.
So. That's maybe Back for Blood was too, but those alone are big. Even if you are like, oh, $40, that's a lot. I mean, you're donating it, and like, if you just want like three or four of these, like just bigger named games, like you're actually getting all your money for it.
Yeah, Back for Blood alone is $60, for example.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So definitely worth it if you feel like donating and also getting something out of it. As far as the books go, you got like RPG rule books like Pathfinder, Warhammer Fantasy is in there. You've got like a couple of graphic novels and stuff like that in comics. You've got like Red Sonja and you've got The Boys.
Yeah, people are into that.
Yeah.
Some other games that like I personally like played or know fairly well. There's Brother Tale of Two Sons, an amazing storytelling game. Control two brothers with like one controller. Each one is a stick of the controller. It's really crazy. Going Under, I love that game. Really good roguelike game. Tooth and Tail. I didn't play this, but I saw people play it years ago. It's a strategy game. More like Warcraft or Starcraft.
Yeah.
What was another one? They're super hot. That was in the last bundle.
Yeah, but it's in this one too.
Yeah, Wargroove. Amnesia's in here. Wizard of Legend, like Skullgirls.
Skullgirls.
If you don't
yes.
have one of the 100 editions of that. I don't know how many it actually has, but this is Skullgirl's second encore, so it should be all the characters. Or maybe not all the characters. I think some of the very new ones are delegated to DLC. There's Starbound. I wish I got to really play this game, but didn't.
Yeah, it's been a while since we played that one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's great stuff in here. Like, I personally haven't bought it yet. I'm considering it, but I don't know. I have so many games to play right now.
Yeah. This one, I bought it because it was something that my wife wanted a few games from it anyways, and she's always down to give more to charity. So when she saw that, she immediately was like, yeah, we're getting this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just a couple more things. I mentioned everything else. There are software and digital items. I did mention the 3D printing patterns. There's also software like Game Guru and like Game Making or Game Maker Studio. There's also some like courses on stuff like Unity. So if that was something you were interested in learning, they have like online courses that you can subscribe to through that.
Python's in there too.
Yeah, there is something for Python as well for coding. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, and it's for a good cause. I recommend it. That's why I bought it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to give a shout out with that one.
No. I mean, people probably know about this bundle already. Not much else to say.
Yeah, but statistically, I mean, given the amount of money it's made, probably well known by now. But
yeah, it's not like the itch.io one where it's just like not in the forefront as much, where this one is like people listening probably actively might have a bundle like subscription already, and it's probably in their face already.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the fence about it though and you got the money, I'd say go for it. It's definitely worth it to me.
Yeah.
All right, well, we can move on. Want to talk a little bit about Final Fantasy Chaos. Strangers of Chaos, Chaos Edition.
Yeah, the Chaos is just the main character. Jack kept screaming Chaos in the trailer. I think we went over this last week where that's just the meme of it. It is in the news for different reasons, but I wanted to mention how the game has been like received right now, and how like I want to go more into detail of how it plays, because I don't think I gave that a good description.
Yeah, I'd like to know more about it personally.
Well, a lot of people are comparing it to another game from the same developer. It's actually a game you played, Chris.
Oh,
it's so Team Ninja made this game. They made Neo.
Oh,
yeah. So this game is getting compared to Neo a lot. So first off, I'll go over all some of the mechanics, but you'll pick up the Neo stuff eventually. So this game, unlike Neo, has multiple party members. You mainly could just control Jack, which is your main like generic blonde dude. it's got a job system. Your level is based on your job, so it's got all your Final Fantasy jobs like Dragoon, Black Mage, Samurai, stuff like that. And all your stats are connected to your armor, so very much like Neo, where like there's levels that you get as drops throughout the levels that you pick. It's the same exact way, where like if you want to go to like a level 20 area, you better have like level 20 armor. The combat, very similar to Neo, like action-y, kind of Souls, like got the same kind of dodges and everything. But it's got three party members and magic, so like the enemies might focus on your party members, not unlike Neo, where it's just you, just one dude. I think in the second game, there's more to it, but I didn't get to play the second one. I don't know how far you got in the first one.
Not super far. Quick question about the party, though. So does that mean that it has like the usual like tactic settings for the party, or do they kind of just do their own thing and you can control them sometimes?
It's similar to like Final Fantasy VII Remake. Okay. But I think in Remake you can. Yeah, no, I'm gonna say I think. I know you can play as the other characters. Like if you want to pick Tifa, you just go to Tifa, and then Cloud just goes on auto or whatever. But you can like kind of command them sometimes. It's similar to this one too, where like you can pick their classes and everything, and then occasionally command them to do something or throw out a hill. But for the most part, I believe you're just managing Jack.
Okay.
It's pretty much made for Final Fantasy fans. Like, you're gonna see these old enemies like taunt berries and bombs just in their own single player action game. So if you didn't already get enough of that in Final Fantasy VII Remake or 15 or in 14, but 14 is also a action game, you got it there. One complaint is that there's only like one music track that constantly plays throughout every fight. There is different tracks for like bosses and areas, but like it's gonna be the same music track. I don't know if you remember this in Neo, but how you went through levels was you just selected them on like a board, kinda, or on a same exact thing.
Okay.
Just select a level, you just go into it, and it's got levels to it. Like, this is the level 15 area, this is the level 17 area, something like that. The world design to me feels very similar to Neo and another game, Code Vein. I don't know if you got to play that, but the level design is very similar, or it's kind of like when you go into the level. Very linear with how you travel through it, because normally Souls-like games have that like back and forth to it, where like, oh, there might be a path over this way, or you can go this other way, and it might make the path shorter. It doesn't really have that. Code Vein did have that, but like the world was kind of bland. And this game is getting a lot of knocks for being very bland. Another problem people are having with it is how the combat feels. It's similar to how I. Same problems I have with like games like Monster Hunter or Dark Souls when you have a party member with you, where the bosses may be designed for just one person, but like sometimes the boss might do like an AoE and hit you and just kill you outright. This game, the bosses are designed with three people in mind, and all of their attacks are AoEs. So, and they're very hard to like. I'm not gonna say dodge. There is a dodge, but you're gonna get hit by them. It seems like you can't dodge every attack, and that's a complaint that some people are having. Like, are just like they're just getting hit all the time by these big AoE attacks or an AoE's area of effect. So that's a problem that people are having. But there are other problems with the game right now too, outside of just like normal gameplay stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have some written down here. This is particularly for the PC port, which I don't know about you. It's not really surprising that the PC port isn't doing too hot.
Seems to be a thing with every game nowadays.
I don't know what's going on here, but this is really just kind of a collection of complaints that a lot of people have been experiencing them. Some are more widespread than others, but some of the complaints include issues with the brightness and inconsistent graphics. There's one issue that seems to be the biggest issue. I don't think it's been fixed yet. I haven't seen anything that says that they took care of this yet. Most people are experiencing some sort of weird slowdown of the game whenever they perform the Soul Burst, which Soul Burst is like a flashy finishing move that you can do.
Limit break, per se.
The thing that's weird about it that I've looked at is it's not a drop in frame rate. It's not like, okay, it gets choppy here. It looks like some like crappy like slow motion that they implemented, but it's not. It's not like an intentional thing. It's just the game just like weirdly slows down for some reason.
That's
Absolutely
weird.
unintentional.
That's strange.
I mean, when you think of lag, you think of like the choppy, like, oh, my frame's down to like 2 frames per second, so I'm watching a slideshow now. It's just full on the game just like goes slower.
Like, normally I would like perceive it as like, oh, like there's a lot going on the screen. Like, maybe they're like, for this game, there is, since there's three characters on the screen, like they're doing different attacks. The boss just did like a big attack, so like my frame rate's gonna drop. There's a lot happening, but this just seems to be just happening for no reason, not because of performance, just because they're having it happen. I don't get it.
This is something that a lot of people have been complaining about, and most people post their specs when they're talking about it. So you get a wide range of like budget PC to like brand new, brand spanking new $4,000 rig. So it doesn't seem to be a hardware issue. People just don't know what's going on. One curious thing is that it seems to be worse when the game gets bumped up to 120 FPS. So, it seems to go even more slow motion the higher FPS you are.
Maybe the slowdown is like capped at a certain frame rate. Like, maybe they're like, whenever they do this Soul Burst attack, put the frame rate to 10 or 20 or something, so you're going to super notice it whenever your frame rate's already aggressively high.
Yeah, I don't know. It's odd. As far as solutions to the problem, there is one Redditor named MTGFace. They claim to be a game visual effects artist. They gave some suggestions. Most of the suggestions are very basic. There's stuff like turning off your motion blur. For the brightness problem, obviously just cranking up your brightness. The main thing that they say to do, particularly for the soul burst issue, is to lower your resolution scaling. So you can have your resolution set up high, but take the scaling down lower. And also cap the FPS at 60.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, they're not going to even perceive past, like, 60 super well, unless you are, like, a dedicated, like, gamer, then you're probably playing at, like, 120. But, yeah, like, capping at 60 is not awful.
Yeah, I've never needed, like, even when my computer is top of the line, which, you know, every 7 years it is, I usually don't feel the need to go above 60 FPS. Like, maybe because I was brought up on crappy computers, but, like, I just feel like that's unnecessary past a certain point.
Yeah, we have privileged friends who are like, I need to have all the frames, all the time, maximum graphics.
I need to see into the future.
Yeah.
Show me the future frames.
An opinion I think I and almost everybody has is just don't ever have motion blur on.
Screw that. Yes.
Never. It's dumb. It's ugly. Like, I maybe for, like, cinematic reasons you can have it on, but having that on all the time would make me sick, and it's bad. Don't do that.
Yeah, it seems unnecessary. That's something I do anyways, so I could see it being just, if you haven't done it, you should do it by now anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully they'll get that fixed and squared away, but if... history has been any indication, PC ports don't often get fixed very soon, so we could be looking at a year or so for all we know before that gets fixed.
Like, I know we were ragging on, like, Elden Ring had some, like, performance problems. Like, obviously I had, like, PC problems with it, and, like, I don't even know if those problems got fixed. Like, I couldn't even play the game, but, like, the game still got updated, like, 2 weeks down the line, so there's hope with, like, maybe games like this being a Final Fantasy game eventually being updated because it is Square Enix. It's like their property.
Right. Okay. Next up here, I want to talk about some weird copyright strike issues going on with Bungie/Destiny in particular. So we got some reports on Sunday about multiple high-profile Destiny YouTubers that received some DMCA notices. The first time we noticed these was back on last Wednesday. Redditor Inditorious pointed out that there were some Destiny quote-unquote music archivists. This is people that solely post music to their channels so that they, you know, stay up, similar to what we saw with, like, Nintendo music and stuff like that.
Like, companies don't like their music being, like, shown, apparently.
Yeah, in general, it seems really weird.
I have a question. Is this, like, so did who bought out Destiny?
Sony bought Bungie. I don't Sony think that purchase Bungie. Went through yet, though.
Okay, so this is okay. I was kind of skeptical of maybe it's something related to that, but all right.
Yeah, that's appropriate skepticism, and we'll get to that. Just want to, like, hammer through the story real quick. So there were some music archivists like Promethean and Breshy. They received DMCA notices against, like, music that was posted to their channels. This later expanded to YouTubers on Sunday, like My Name is Biff and Aztec Ross, who do, like, lore videos and stuff like that. Their videos received notices as well. It was after this, like, they were particularly popular people. Bungie released a statement addressing it. In that statement, they said, "We're aware of a series of copyright takedowns on YouTube and we're actively investigating. This includes content on our own Bungie channels. These actions are not being taken at the request of Bungie or our partners. Please stand by for future updates."
It's weird.
Yeah, so it's happening to their own videos too, which is pretty strange.
It sounds like algorithm stuff, like the bot is just grabbing it.
Right.
Who's claiming them?
I'm sorry?
Who's claiming it then? Like, if it's a DMCA notice, then isn't there, like, shouldn't it be appropriately being claimed by something?
That's correct. So, as far as we know, some of the pictures that are being posted by some of the people who received the notices, they seem to indicate that it's Bungie Incorporated that's doing it. Good news, on Monday, the YouTubers that I mentioned, my name is Biff and Aztec Ross. I'm sorry, I think my dogs are freaking out.
I think you're fine.
Okay. I'm sorry. So my name is Biff, and Aztec Ross reported that their notices were dropped, so they were able to put their videos back up with very little problem. There have been a few theories. I should also note that the music archivists have not reported that their videos are restored. However, some of them did just take down videos preemptively just so that they don't have to worry about it in the future. Obviously, with copyright strikes, if you get 3 strikes, you're out. So they don't want to avoid as many strikes as possible. So if they notice that their channel's getting heat, they're going to just drop any fight for it and just remove the music.
That's terrible if that happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they're doing the right thing just to cover their own butts and just delete them before they get those strikes. Yeah, this is strange.
Yeah. Hmm? You mentioned algorithm stuff. There are a few theories that are going around. There's nothing official, so it's hard to say what exactly happened until Bungie themselves release a statement. But it's like you said, it could be like an algorithm thing. Many people, especially like the music archivists, were saying that it was CSC, which is an affiliate of Bungie that handles this kind of stuff. So they handle like digital branding and like make sure their IP stays safe and stuff like that. They said that they might be, or they were the ones that were doing it. Again, the images that I saw of the takedown notices were from Bungie Incorporated, although Bungie themselves say that they were not the ones doing it and no one affiliated with them were doing it. So it's kind of hard to parse exactly who was responsible, other than to say maybe it was, like you said, an algorithm thing. There's no way of knowing for sure until we get more information.
Unless Bungie Incorporated is like a fake account that's just trying to like get people for no reason. I don't know.
Yeah. That was another theory, was someone, there were people that said like, well, anyone can do a copyright strike. And theoretically you could just pose to someone. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think that that's necessarily viable, but that was a theory. That's why I'm saying it's really hard to know for sure. I do think that it is a little suspicious that some people's videos are restored, but then you have people who are doing the music who their videos weren't restored. And so I think that's odd, and especially if Bungie doesn't come out with a statement later on, once they know something, that would raise suspicion to me. I don't know, it's hard, and music stuff is particularly annoying when they do this. This happened a lot with Nintendo, we've talked about it before. The only thing that I can say in Bungie's defense, if it were them, is at least with the music, it seems like they do post their own music available on their own channel. So at least there are other means of listening to the music. That being said, I still think it's kind of petty, especially because these music YouTubers don't monetize their videos.
Yeah, they're just putting it out there for people to listen to and hear.
Yeah, and it's especially because you can't guarantee that Bungie is going to keep their music available down the road.
Right.
So I don't know, man. It's hard to say. I'm glad that the people who make money off of videos were able to get their videos back up, as far as I can tell. So at least that's, you know, kind of a silver lining here. But hopefully this doesn't continue down the road until Bungie comes back with more information, we won't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to stay positive on this since Bungie themselves are being targeted by this. So, like, it'd be, like, I would say it's just corporate bullcrap if, like, just YouTubers are being targeted. But the fact that Bungie got targeted themselves, this is probably some computer nonsense or someone messing up. So I would say stay positive on this.
Yeah, that's how I'm treating it. Like I said, there are a lot of theories and some people kind of accused Bungie of some weird, like, false flag thing where Bungie took down their own videos to maintain that they weren't involved, but I'm not in that wagon. I think it's just like some weird digital thing or some automated thing that went haywire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the stories that I prepared for us. We can talk about some upcoming games. We have a few big ones coming up this Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we talk about those, there is one indie game that's coming out the day before on Thursday, March 24th. It's called A Memoir Blue. Seems like a pretty small game. It's like a casual sort of narrative-driven game. It has some like 2D and 3D visuals. It's basically just you play as a champion swimmer named Miriam, and you go through as she like recalls past events in her life through her childhood. So you go through her childhood and in particular look at your relationship with her mother. Very like narrative, very casual, very, you know, you're not playing it because it's a difficult game. You're playing it to look at pretty visuals and, you know, see a story.
Very pretty. I will say that if you like a lot of like water reflective things going on and fish swimming by, it's pretty.
I love water.
I do too. It scares me sometimes whenever it's deep in the ocean and thalassophobia kicks in and I panic. But
yeah, well, Cthulhu's down there.
Well, big machinery and sunken boats. It's terrifying. But this is pretty and looks pretty surreal. Boy, does that main character lady have a high turtleneck, though. That thing looks massive.
Yeah. That's just an indicator of her power.
Yeah. Very powerful.
She turns out to be the final boss.
But she's the main character.
I said what I said.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about the big games coming out on Friday. First off, we got Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah, were you on the up of it? Like, did you know about this game coming out?
So, I didn't know about the game itself until recently. To be honest, the thing that struck me looking at trailers and stuff was just the visuals. For me, like, it was pretty impressive watching trailers and stuff because I'm like, there were some trailers where I was like, is this like 3D modeling or is this like live action? I can't tell.
Yeah, I didn't know about this game either. Literally the only reason I found out about this was because I was falling asleep in my chair and I stay up really late at night, like 4 or 5 a.m. sometimes, and I fell asleep and I woke up to someone who had like a beta of this game, and I just woke up to it and I was like, what is this? So I ended up seeing it and then eventually doing some research on it. This is what I think coming that makes the Evil Within survival horror games. I don't know if you played those.
Okay.
There's two of them. I don't like playing horror games personally that much, but like I think I played the first one. Apparently the second one's way better. So normally this the company is known for like survival horror. Game itself, Ghostwire Tokyo, is an open world, so in Tokyo, FPS-ish, action, horror-ish, yokai killing game. I know that's a lot. Those are my words. So like, think you're just running around in an open world, which is Tokyo, in first person, with these pretty graphics, killing these yokai, or just ghosts. The reason I say it's an FPS is the way you're killing them is with like magic spells, like you're just like shooting off wind with a finger pistol pretty much. You can charge it and do like a bigger wind burst. You have like a fireball you can throw out, or you can charge it to do these big one hits. There's water too, like you can bend water kind of, and it's more of like your shotgun AoE type of thing. the ghosts slash like yokai slash and like bad guys, they're very mannequin looking. So think like a mannequin you'd see in a store that would have clothes dressed on it, but a lot of them have like umbrellas that like block attacks, which is weird. It's just very interesting like design, because normally you think yokai, you're thinking like, well, there is like traditional yokai in it, yeah, for sure. Like think Tengu. I don't know what the big like. There's one that's like a floating like Shikigami looking thing. I play a lot of SMT, so I'm very used to a lot of yokai and Japanese mythology.
I saw a kappa.
Yeah, there's a kappa. The vendors are cats.
Okay.
Which is cool. Whenever you're casting these spells, it's charge based. So like your wind is like your normal auto attack almost. Say you only have like 30 charges of it. So you're just like shooting it off, and when you're hitting these yokai, you're like breaking them kind of down. You're like shooting holes through them, and when you expose them, they have like a core, and you can like execute the core and break it. And when you do that, you get more charges of your like spells. You can also like stealthily walk up behind an enemy and just execute it, which is cool. You die really quick in this game too. Like if you get like hit 3 times or so, you're dead, which is pretty crazy in an open world game. I personally feel you can also like zip line to like the top of the buildings and like float and kind of fly. I'll say more like glide across them, which is really cool if you ever want to just do that in like a Tokyo environment that's not a Yakuza game. That's a thing you can do. the world is very absent of like living people. It's mostly just like ethereal ghosts and yokai, sometimes dogs and cats.
I liked the whole idea of taking Tokyo and just making it kind of a playground. I mean, that's like the Ubisoft, it's not a Ubisoft game, but that's like the Ubisoft model of just taking a place and then just like recreating it and then letting you play in it.
I swear if I have to go to the top of like a tower, like a vista, and like expand my horizons or whatever, I'm gonna uninstall it.
Yeah, luckily it's not a Ubisoft game, so I don't think you have to do that.
There is something similar to that. You find like some pillar, what are they called, like the red pillar thingies, I can't remember what they're called, the Tory gates, and those do kind of like disperse a fog. I believe it's the Tory gates, and that does kind of expand your area to play.
Okay. Yeah.
You're not climbing a tower though.
Yeah, it combines some of the stuff that I do like about certain games and stuff like that, where it's just like I said, just like taking a place, recreating it, letting you play in it, taking like some mythological lore from other places and using that. So, I mean, like Japanese folklore is pretty cool. I've looked into a lot of it before. I do like looking into various like folklores and mythologies and stuff like that. It's pretty fun.
Absolutely. As a weeaboo, I love that. And that everybody's a weeb these days, so
yeah, it's the end thing.
Tokyo. Yeah. Why we don't have Assassin's Creed Tokyo, I don't know. I think we had Assassin's Creed like China, but it was like a side scrolling game.
Yeah, that was like a 2.5D thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool looking. When I saw the gameplay, like the first impression I got was like Dishonored. In a way. Yeah. Like especially because like the first gameplay trailer that I think I saw was like just the beginning of a mission, just doing the stealth stuff,
yeah,
and like doing stealth takedowns. And that gave me the vibe of like, okay, this is like Yokai Dishonored. It's not the same like parallel, but like it definitely gave me that vibe at first.
Based on what I've like seen of it, I haven't gotten to play this yet. I will definitely buy this game at some point, maybe like on sale, or like maybe just get it on like PS4 if something. As people who are playing it had the PS5 release, because that was the only way to play it early. Comes out on the 25th, yeah, of March. It's almost like you got these like the like stealth sections, like you can try to take out some enemies, but like whenever the fight starts, like you're in an open world, but like whenever enemies start coming at you, it's almost like a horde of enemies, almost like you're trying to gun them down with your like magic spells. You're not as mobile as like as you think you probably should be. I want to say like there is kind of like a dodge and getting it like kind of getting out of the way. It's not super fast is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think that is probably intentional to give it sort of like survival horror vibes, because I mean it is about like demons and stuff, so they probably want to add some of that in.
Yeah, there are some demons per se. For the most part, it's yokai, which are just ghosts.
Yeah.
There are demons out there. There's some out there, some oni. One complaint I heard, like, even though there's a variety of enemies, they do all act kind of similarly. They are kind of just trying to like walk to you and hit you. There are some ranged ones out there, like Tengu or some flying enemies, but for the most part, they're not that varied. And they do apparently across playing the game, they are paced fairly well, but the game will get fairly repetitive. So I think the people who will be into this game are the people who like really glom on to that, like how it looks and the whole Japanese mythology. Maybe they like the magic of it, like FPS magic. I think those are the people who are really gonna like this game. But like, I think if you're just like super into like FPS games, or maybe you were super into their previous game, their Evil Within, maybe this might not be for you. But there's definitely gonna be groups of people who love this.
Yeah, it's one that I would consider if my PC were better. Looking at the game, I don't think my computer can handle it, honestly.
Yeah, and this is an FPS game. Like, you're gonna want a mouse and keyboard. That's the best way to play an FPS, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. So next up on Friday, Friday's a big day. We got Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Dude, is there any more we have to say about this game other than it's Kirby as a traffic cone or Kirby as a car?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I don't know that we do. I know about as much as I did when we first talked about it, like a couple months ago now, when that Nintendo Direct came out. Definitely getting that one. I know my wife's just gonna buy it because she loves Kirby. So, I'll probably see at least a bit of the gameplay for that. I'd love to play it myself. It does look fun. Like, it looks pretty fun.
I think this is a game that will probably, along with some of the other games we're mentioning for upcoming games, that maybe we can talk about next week just to see how they performed or how they came out. This is definitely one that I think is worth talking about.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it does and come back next week with that. Because, like I said, like, I love the concepts that they presented in the Nintendo Direct, so if it delivers on its promises and is a pretty enjoyable time, then it'll do pretty well.
Yeah, I think if it is what I said, like Kirby but Mario Odyssey, I think it'll do well.
Yeah, absolutely. One more game coming out on Friday, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
So this is just Borderlands. This is the one Borderlands of DLC, the Tiny Tina, like, D&D DLC that was for Borderlands 2, I think, right?
Yes.
It's just that. But, like, more updated, better graphics, new story and everything.
And standalone.
It's standalone. You don't need any Borderlands game with this. This is just, if you love Tiny Tina, who doesn't? She's the best character, hands down, in all the Borderlands games. It's a lot of her. Telling her fantasy DM story. I'm not even joking. It's still got the guns and everything that Borderlands has. It's just not called Borderlands.
Yeah, I mean, it's not usually a bad thing. Like, Borderlands is fun enough that, like, if you just had another Borderlands, like, you could probably have fun with that.
Yeah, like, this might be a game we end up playing. Not sure yet, but it might end up being one we play.
Yeah, Borderlands is one that we have come back to, so definitely possible.
Yeah, so we'll definitely at least report on how this game does, how it differs. But for the most part, based on what I've seen, it is just a Borderlands game.
Yeah,
and if we end up playing it, we'll have a lot more to say, but that might not be in the near future, maybe down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, that's our day. Right? Do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about before we head out today?
No, I feel like I went pretty in depth with like the games we had, talked about what I wanted to, talked about stupid stuff I'm doing that aren't video game related. just spend the next, you know, however long talking about anime, but that's not what our podcast is about. So
no, it's not.
I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah, there's nothing else I can think of. There were a couple stories that I wanted to go over, but I saved those for next week. So there's some stuff going on with Sony and Moon Studios. Moon Studios is the developer behind Ori and the Blind Forest. But those are going to be coming out next week. Hopefully there will be a little more to talk about with those too, because I wanted to also see if there are any more statements coming from the companies themselves or any additional input from anyone from the companies.
That's never good when we need statements. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. We'll have those to talk about next week at the very least. Yeah, this is just a short week, I think. Yeah.
All right, well, we can go ahead and head out then and start watching some more anime, probably. We'll have more to talk about next week.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. We will see you next week. Have a good week.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.